Well, let's get started on this. It's the analytics of loyalty, Qantas, Freak and Flyer. I had a little bit of a pre-taste of this presentation, and there's some really interesting elements, and it's surprisingly actuarial. So that's kind of good, given this is an actuarial conference. With two great speakers, we've got Vaughan Chandler. He's the head of strategy and analytics for Qantas Loyalty. So Vaughan is responsible for driving the long-term commercial vision of the loyalty business, which sounds very important, Vaughan. And he ensures that the Qantas Group maximises the potential provided by the Qantas Frequent Flyer database program. And Vaughan has an MBA from HEC, which is a French business school, and a BCom from Macquarie. I had the pleasure of catching up with a past colleague of Vaughan's at Qantas who set up the analytics back in the 80s, and it's a fascinating subject, so I'm looking forward to Vaughan filling it in. Wade Tubman's a principal at Quantium. He's got 15 years actuarial experience in business, customer analytics, modelling and managing value and risk. At Quantium, Wade leads the market blueprint practice, which was presented on earlier today. That's the NAB database. Provides analytical and strategic solutions to retailers, financial services, telcos, loyalty programs, airlines, so on and so forth. So I think a very interesting session. We'll get going. We're a little pressed for time, so we'll make sure that the speakers keep to about probably 20, 25 minutes, and that will give some room for questions at the end. When you do come to ask a question, make sure you use the microphone and also remember to fill out your feedback forms at the end of the session. Thank you. So Vaughan, I think you're presenting first.
So thank you, Rob, for the introduction, and thank you, Wade. Wade's, by the way, actuaries that we use at Qantas, and he's invited us to speak today. So it is a pleasure to be here, and given the time, what I wanted to do, and I wanted to make sure I left enough room for questions, so I'll spend a few minutes just taking you through Qantas Loyalty and Qantas Frequent Flyer, because it's probably a little bit of a different business than what you think of it as a member. So I'll give you a bit of a view as to what the business is. And then we'll take you through some how we apply analytics in the business and how that's sort of transferred into a couple of case studies that Wade will take you through. Hopefully then there's plenty of time for questions, because it often raises more questions as we go through this than I answer in taking you through the business. So as Rob mentioned, my role is head of strategy and analytics, so I run the two different areas and we keep them quite separate. I think one of the things where we start with often with Frequent Flyer is that it's actually a loyalty business more than a loyalty program. So most of you are probably aware about Qantas Frequent Flyer, the brand, and the membership program. And that's sort of what we've got on the left-hand side. So we've got 8.5 million members in the program today. It's growing strongly. It's 25 years old and it's still growing very strongly in terms of new member acquisition. What we term ourselves is a coalition loyalty program. So we actually pride ourselves in the breadth of the ways you can earn points and obviously the breadth in the ways you can use your points, not just earning on airlines and earning and burning on airlines. So we use the term earn and burn. You burn your points when you use them. The design we have with the coalition actually provides a huge amount of benefit back into not just Qantas but also the other partners that we have in the program. So we touch on a lot of financial services products in the program, obviously credit cards. Hopefully you're all members of the program and earn lots of points using your credit cards. But we've also got wealth management products, obviously telco, supermarkets, general merchandise and a whole raft of other ways you can use you can earn points and use your points. Importantly for us as well, we've actually got more businesses under Qantas Frequent Flyer than just Qantas Frequent Flyer. So we actually operate now 100 loyalty programs for companies right across the country and in some international areas. So we provide systems and capabilities to those companies to operate their own proprietary loyalty programs, and building off the scale that we have with Qantas Frequent Flyer. When we look at our business, we often term ourselves as a direct marketing business overall. And we've built out our platform of scale of marketing and operating efficiencies to be able to provide that for services to other third parties that may or may not be part of the Qantas Frequent Flyer program. So we're building out our analytics capability to offer these services to external parties as well, and leveraging the IP that we have in this to enter into adjacent markets. How does the coalition loyalty program work? For us, when we talk about loyalty, it always starts with the customer is obviously the core of it. We are a loyalty program focused on our members and the customers. And for us, that's making sure that they get valued rewards by being part of the program. So the rewards that we design have to be... We have three key rules. One, it's got to be simple to understand. Another is it's got to be achievable, so the member has to be able to get there. And third, it's got to be desirable and aspirational. We probably fall foul of the simple rule a bit too often because we put too many customer goals in their way, but you know, we work on those three golden rules for us. Airlines have a great advantage in this space that they are very desirable in terms of seats, and it's also aspirational. So what we find is that members strive to achieve the reward, and it's really this goal-seeking behaviour around wanting to get to the reward that drives the member behaviour. Once we have the member behaviour, then we're able to actually effectively commercialise that, and that's where the coalition comes in. So we're able to take the fact that members want to redeem seats and transfer those into points and sell those points to other commercial entities. So effectively the model for us is we sell the behavioural membership, the member behaviour that we create, to our partner companies. So the banks, Woolworths and that, are buying points in effectively to drive our members' preference to their brands, and we can measure that quite strongly. Building that out actually creates a more powerful redemption as well, because our members are earning their points quicker through the multiple channels, and therefore they're actually getting to the rewards much quicker than they would if we were having standalone loyalty programs. And that's a piece of the puzzle that we can measure very strongly. The benefits that our members and the change in behaviour that our members have when they start earning across multiple industries, we can see them using our existing partners more than they used to before they were doing that coalition behaviour. So it's a very powerful tool for us. In the middle of all that, and where the actuaries come in and the analytics comes in, is we obviously use the information that's created by our members interacting with the program to get a very rich picture of member behaviour and member profiles in the customer database at an individual level. And we work through, you know, using that information very carefully as part of how we go forward in driving innovation into the program. A lot of people ask us how we make money. So very quickly, we make money by selling points. That's one core way to do it. So on the left, when a member earns a point, we charge our partners for that point. So for us, the member starts to accrue their points balance at that stage, and the points sit in their balance. At the same time, we're sitting on the cash, and it gives us a nice working capital benefit through the fact that typically a point will stay in the system for about 2 years, 2.5 years. At that point, that's obviously an average. At that point, when the member comes to redeem their points, we'll go out and buy the good that the member uses their points to redeem from. So if it's an airline seat, we'll buy that ticket off the airline, off Qantas or off a partner airline. If it's a toaster, we go and source the toaster. So that's a cost for us, but in accounting terms, that's also where we recognise a large part of the revenue as well, which is deferred on the balance sheet in the interim. I can spend a lot of time taking you through accounting treatments. We're probably not worth it here, but if there are questions, we can go through it. But effectively, we're bringing cash in early, making a margin between what we sell the point for and what the cost of goods redeems, making some benefit on the float, and then there's also a portion of points that go in the system that will never be redeemed. And for that, we this is where a specific actuarial work comes in, is to predict how many of our points are going to not be redeemed, and we take that revenue up front as 100% margin as well. Some stats on the program. We sell more than $1 billion worth of points per annum. So if you compare that to the size of, say, David Jones, which is $2 billion of revenue, and think of us as a general retailer, we're a very large retailer. We sell a lot of points. The cash that's sitting on the balance sheet because of it is around $2 billion or over $2 billion at the moment. So once again, that's a very significant piece of working capital benefit for the airline, which obviously needs a lot of capital to fund a big fleet of planes. And probably importantly, this number is a little bit misleading because there's accounting one-off adjustments in there, but we make about $200 million of underlying sustainable profit per annum through the sale of the points. And it's a very stable business. It's got high growth. Well, it's got good growth in it. And for us, that's all created from external activity. There's no transfer pricing of profit in there, so we actually make no money from our relationship with Qantas the airline. So very significant size business for the group. It rivals the size of Qantas the airline in terms of profit. That figure is quite different from what it was 5 years ago, and this is where we probably flip more into analytics and how we've used analytics to drive the business. If you go back 6 or 7 years ago, Qantas Frequent Flyer was a sub-department of the Qantas Airlines marketing team, and it was used just as an operational execution team for airline sales, effectively. When we had a look at the business and we did a huge piece of work around understanding customer behaviour in the database, understanding the market, and we came to the position that a change in the business model would actually drive a huge amount of value, not just for Qantas as an airline, but also Qantas Frequent Flyer as a standalone business. And that was driven from probably about a year of really fundamental work back at the customers using the database and the structure that had been set up in Qantas earlier. When we look over time, over the 5 years since we've changed the business model to become that coalition loyalty program, we've now got record member satisfaction, 60% increase in EBIT. When we were looking back in 2007, the profit profile was stagnant, and without those changes, we would not have achieved that. 50% increase in membership and a significant increase in how members use their points and their engagement with the program overall. Since 2007, we've used customer analytics as part of feeding into the strategy of the business to continually evolve the program. So we've driven a lot of change in Qantas Frequent Flyer, typically incremental to the customer benefits that they receive as being a member. We introduced a new tier above Platinum called Platinum One, which really targets a need that we identify through analytics at the high end of the base. We've also introduced what we call auto rewards, which is every quarter we send out a gift voucher automatically if you've got enough points. And that was targeting a need that was picked up through our tracking analytics at the bottom end of the base. And we've done a whole range of new areas such as launch a wine store in Epicure and use new communication channels and once again use very targeted customer analytics to focus on who we communicate to through which channels. And that work around the customer behavioural analytics, campaign optimisation, predictive modelling and loyalty design also just feeds into our general day-to-day business in terms of driving growth without looking at necessarily a fundamental change to the business as well. I think one of the key things for my mind, and we'll talk about this, is we use analytics as part of strategy in the business and it comes into me as part of that strategy, but also feeds right across the whole business. It's directly involved in the operational side, the marketing side, finance, and the whole business actually uses the analytics team as a service provider on a day-to-day basis. And it's a really fundamental approach that we've taken with the business to make sure we drive that culture in the business. When we look at... I'll be quick because I'm conscious of time. But when you look at Qantas Frequent Flyer as comparables versus other leading loyalty programs in the world, the ones we track carefully is a company called Aimia that came out of Air Canada, which runs the Aeroplan business, also acquired Nectar, which is a UK loyalty program, and Multiplus out of TAM in Brazil is another key loyalty program that's separated itself out of the airline. If you look at billings per capita, you can see that we're right. We're double these leading loyalty programs in terms of our penetration into the Australian market versus their penetration into their core geographic markets. Breakage, which I mentioned earlier, is another core fundamental difference. We've got significantly fewer points that will actually end up being non-redeemed in the program than any other loyalty program. And Wade will talk a bit about breakage later. And it really is a trade-off between short-term profit and long-term sustainable growth. And it's a very tough dynamic to draw the difference between. Because if you want to make short-term profit, you take your breakage rate right up and it's easy. Your margin goes up, you make a lot of money, but the program over time will decrease in size and you'll have longer-term problems. The combination of all this leads us to a strong profit position in the market. And as you can see, versus Aimia, driven off similar penetration into the market. So we've got a much higher engaged member base than, you know, leading loyalty programs around the world as well. I think just probably at a high level from my perspective, and then I'll hand over to Wade, when I look across the industries and look at what companies are doing, using analytics and data well to drive, you know, benefit and value accretion in the business, it's not the businesses that sort of focus their efforts on creating the systems and having the data in one place are the ones that typically don't get so far with benefit. It's more the ones that focus their efforts on having the organisational structure that's going to be able to take advantage of the fact that there is data in the business and the culture that embraces analytics and change driven off analytics that really actually are the leading areas of benefiting from the fact that there's so much access to data in current businesses here. So really, it's for my mind, a very clear thing when we start to talk to other people around the businesses that are driven by commercial needs, commercial acumen, rather than the fact that there's a whole bunch of data there, are the ones that are winning in this space. And that this is part of what we've been trying to drive over the last 5 years. Other core areas, you've got to be able to measure what you do. It's easy to say, but hard to do. And often we find that if you need to kickstart it, driving those into the senior exec KPIs is a good way to start the process rolling. And then once you actually have some wins on the board, it will start to create some momentum of its own and get driven from there. The fundamentals of having the structure in place that allows you to continually learn from the work that you've been doing. So knowledge management, the investment in analytics, and the processes and practices that allow you to actually get things to market. We've got in loyalty a very clear innovation pipeline that is one of our core fundamentals that we track as an exec team. And I think these pieces of puzzle are as important as the fact that you've got a system there with data in it. And it's really, for us, part of the way to obtain value. And if you don't do these things, the data will just sit there and probably be used for reporting purposes rather than commercial purposes. So with that, I wanted to pass over to Wade, take you through, well, there's two case studies here. We've used, as I said, Quantium for a couple of reasons. One, there are actuaries, also the market blueprint information that they have. So I'll let Wade take you through those case studies and then come back for questions at the end.
You can see how we do for time. We might keep it to one case study, Wade, if time is a struggle.
Sure. Okay, then. Maybe we will just quickly touch on one, but I'll focus on the second case study. I've been quite lucky to be able to work with Qantas Frequent Flyer over the last couple of years, and I think it really is something interesting in terms of actuaries working outside of, some of the more traditional areas, and certainly some of the things that Qantas Frequent Flyer are doing in terms of becoming a customer-centric organisation and the way that they interact with their customers and interact with their data, as Vaughan said, and the organisational structure. I think there's a lot of lessons that financial services organisations could learn out of it. So I might actually skip over the case study as quick as I can and jump onto some of the learnings. As Vaughan said, breakage is one of the aspects where actuaries get involved in loyalty programs. And there's two sort of main approaches to breakage around the world. Some programs actually have a process whereby points expire at the end of an individual point's life. The way I describe that is it's a bit like a leaky bucket. Points come into the top, and then 3 years later they drop out the bottom. And if you haven't built up enough of a balance over that period, then the points expire worthless. Certainly that's common overseas, and the old Flybuys program also worked that way. I'm not sure if you guys have a number of loyalty cards moving to the back of your wallet and then into the bin, because you can never quite get anything out of them. Frequent Flyer is quite different, and your points stay active as long as you're engaged. And so Qantas's approach of driving loyalty through engagement is something we had to pick up in the actuarial modelling. So in short, we've built a transition model to model the points as they transition through different levels of activity. And you can see a diagram here. Points coming into the program will, as the customer engages, they stay active, but as a customer disengages, the points drop through levels of inactivity and at some point would either be redeemed for goods or could it expire unused. So there's quite a lot to that process, which I won't cover off now, but the learnings out of this are not actually technical. The learnings are organisational, and I've pulled three key points around how Qantas Frequent Flyer approaches this area. First of all is the whole of business focus. The Qantas Frequent Flyer management team are heavily engaged in this process. They have a committee that looks at this from finance, strategy, marketing, analytics. And certainly I think that's something that financial services organisations can learn from, bringing all the people together and having them all on the same page when it comes to customer engagement, in particular when it comes to issues like retention. Continual assessment. The Frequent Flyer program is constantly monitoring their customers, understanding where the activity happens, what the touch points are, and what the customer behaviours out of those touch points are. And if there's sort of strange things happening or trends that don't look right, Qantas will either assess them internally or get an actuarial assessment of the implications of some of these behavioural changes. The third thing that I've certainly seen Qantas embrace in this is the holistic view of the customer. In the work that we do with them, it's not so much looking at customers at segments, but considering a customer across a whole bunch of dimensions. So in some instances, you might be looking at a customer's tier. Are they bronze or silver or gold? But in other instances, you actually look at the source of the customer. Did they come from the credit card program, from Qantas, from Woolworths? Looking at levels of engagement, levels of activity, what channels people are using. And certainly the analytics that is done is quite dynamic in terms of considering customers across a whole bunch of different dimensions. I'll focus more on the second case study. And this is an example of a project that we did with Qantas to help predict retention or predict disloyalty within the program. Some of you may or may not be aware that Qantas has been under increasing pressure from competitors, the likes of Virgin domestically, but obviously very aggressive international airline expansion. And so Qantas wanted to understand where the pressure points were in terms of which customers were at risk of disloyalty. We actually call that defection. But it's a difficult concept because, unlike insurance, where a customer is either on or off, with Frequent Flyer, a customer might drop in and out. They could use you domestically but not internationally. So actually defining defection, as we called it, was quite a difficult process. The approach that we used was to use the market blueprint data that Vaughan mentioned and you might have seen in the plenary session this morning. We used that to identify disloyal behaviour. We used it to identify when customers were flying on competitor airlines. And then we built a GLM, or a generalised linear model, to help predict what the drivers were of disloyalty. The factors that we used in the GLM included Qantas' own variables, so we had a look at a number of different things on the Qantas database, but we also used Market Blueprint to have a look at what general factors might be out there in the Australian population that define whether someone is likely to be loyal or disloyal. And finally, the outcome of this was a surprise and delight campaign where Qantas could go out to the right customers after considering their risk of defection and the value of the customer to help try and retain them with the airline. So have a look at some of the output now. What this chart is showing us is the line is effectively the probability of your next flight being with Qantas. The points across, or the x-axis represents the number of points that you've redeemed for a flight in the last 12 months. So effectively what this is saying is the more flights that you might use your points for, so you might say I'm going to redeem for a return trip to Brisbane, or I might redeem for a return trip to London, obviously London being more expensive, the more points that you use in the program, the more loyal that you are to Qantas. And that's a good thing. It shows that the program's working. The more rewards people get out, the more they get back from the program, the more they reward Qantas with their loyalty. Another factor that we looked at was lounge access. I'm not sure if any of you that came from Sydney or other places had the privilege of going into the lounge today, or this morning or last night. I certainly didn't. But you can see here it's quite stark that members that have access to the lounge, and that could either be by purchasing Qantas Club membership or just by having a high enough status. Again, they reward Qantas for their loyalty. One final factor that we built into the model had dozens of factors, but this is an interesting one. What this represents is we actually use the market blueprint data to have a look across the Australian population outside of Qantas, and we looked at Australians' purchase behaviour with supermarkets. So we looked at each individual and we said, is an individual loyal to the supermarket, or do they are they disloyal to the supermarket and use lots of different supermarket brands? We then looked at that across geographies and across age groups to come up with a score which basically represents individuals' loyalty to their supermarket, and that's across the x-axis here. So what this is saying is that 100%, this is the highest percentile of the Australian population in terms of their loyalty to supermarkets. What the line shows us is the loyalty to Qantas. So effectively what we're seeing here, especially in this top 10 to 20% of the Australian population, is the people who are very loyal to their supermarket, they shop exclusively with Coles or Woolworths, are also loyal to Qantas. And we actually see this across a whole bunch of industries. I chose supermarkets just because it was interesting. But we have a look, if we look at your loyalty to your telco, your loyalty to insurer, we see strong correlations between your loyalty in one industry across a whole number of industries. Obviously, part of a retention campaign is to focus not only on the risk, but also on the value. So here we see a map of Sydney, which basically plots out the overall flight spend for Australians. And so, obviously, in terms of riskiness and value, you've got to be wanting to focus on the highest risk customers in the highest value areas. High risk customers in low value areas are probably not a key focus for your retention campaigns. So overall, this is the output from the GLM that we built. Effectively, this is ranking all sort of 8 million Qantas frequent flyers by their risk of defection, which, as I said, it sounds quite dramatic. Keep thinking about the spies. But effectively, what we're seeing here is the people down the bottom end here are at quite high risk of defection. Their likelihood of their next flight being on Qantas is quite low. And effectively what this allows Qantas to focus their retention efforts on the group of customers down here who also have high value, and effectively they can focus on customers with 5 or 10 times the risk of defection than the customers up here who are probably going to be loyal to you anyway. I know it sounds a bit nasty, but if you're going to be focusing your retention efforts, you don't want to focus them on customers who are loyal to you anyway and will stay loyal to you anyway. So what are the learnings for financial services out of this? First of all, it's use of predictive modelling. I do know a number of financial services organisations use predictive modelling, but not all of them. And if anything, Vaughan and I were chatting about this earlier, financial services is probably even a bit easier than airlines in terms of you know when a customer leaves you, it's on or off. Whereas with an airline, it's hard to tell if the customer left or if they actually just reduced their flight behaviour. But using predictive models to try and identify the highest value customers who are also the highest risk of churn is one learning. The second is root cause analysis. The actual process of going through the modelling identifies a number of factors around your business that lead to or potentially indicate there might be some sort of churn issue. So for Qantas, it was that people redeeming points are more loyal and are less likely to defect. So on the flip side of that, you could say people who aren't redeeming are people we've got to watch for. And I think that understanding those type of dynamics is relevant to any organisation. The final part is ongoing monitoring. So Qantas have now taken the calibrated model and they've actually implemented it on their CRM system. And that allows them to monitor this risk of defection over time. So they can see if a customer does certain behaviours, that will basically be rescored by the model and identify that customer as moving from a low-risk group to a high-risk group. And this dynamics of being able to not only identify customers at high risk of defection, but customers who have moved from low risk to high risk because of their behaviour with your organisation is useful to, again, rapid response and target those customers as they're changing rather than when it's too late and they've already left. So in conclusion, sorry about rushing, but obviously we're short on time. Qantas has certainly created a very successful customer-centric organisation, and I think there's a lot of learnings here for financial services. First one is effective use of internal data, the data that you already have, the transactional level data, the CRM data. It's also looking at external data sources. Obviously, we've mentioned some of the ones that we've worked with Qantas on, but even things like the census and other data allow you to get a view of your customers outside of your organisation. The third part is extensive customer modelling, whether it be for breakage or retention or even acquisition campaigns. Qantas, both internally and through their projects with us, have done a number of targeted customer campaigns. And finally, as Vaughan said, having the right organisational culture and building within the culture this focus on customer-centric management and the investment in sort of the knowledge, the systems and the processes to support a customer-centric organisation. And obviously that leads to what we all want in the end, which is maximising customer loyalty and customer value. Thank you.
Thanks, Wade. So we've got time for some questions. Just a reminder to use the microphone. And not to be shy.
Hi, my name's Lorraine Behrens. That was a fabulous presentation, and I learnt so much about Qantas. I thought the frequent flyer program was just a big liability on Qantas's balance sheet, so I found out it hasn't. My questions are more to do with the frequent flyer program because I'm just really interested. So did you use analytical analysis to work out a year or so ago that that to introduce a premium queue for boarding that Virgin had, or was that just competitor analysis? And it's a sort of serious question as well. And probably, maybe related to that, when you were just talking about across industries, how do you differentiate between loyalty and apathy? You mentioned sort of a correlation, I guess, but you mentioned telcos, for example. Is that loyalty or is that just apathy because it's too hard to change?
They're good questions, and they're not too centric as a customer, so or as a member. But let me start with the first one. Are you able to hear? Which was around the premium boarding in the domestic environment. It's an area that over the years we've always picked up. It's probably more through market research than particularly customer database work. That there was always a great level of dissatisfaction in the fact that it didn't exist, or when we had tried to do it, we had not done it well. So it's one that we had been looking at for a number of years. The piece that has made us, you know, recently refocus our effort and really make sure that when we did it well, which I hope you'll have that experience in the last few months, is probably a much more robust piece of research that we've done versus in the past, where in the past we just did sort of a quant pulse type survey on what made you dislike Qantas. Once again, it kept getting tracked through our tracking surveys and net promoter score type tracking surveys. It was a really core issue. So we initiated a much more robust piece of research around conjoint and trade-off analysis in the research to understand the dynamics between if we had it and the competitors didn't and all those pieces and what kind of, rather than just how big an issue is it, is how much value is there in it. And that was the piece where we had that, that allowed us to really drive that change through the organisation better. So in answer, yes, it wasn't observed preference type information, it was more stated, but it was off a robust piece of research. Your question on apathy versus loyalty is a really, really good one. I don't know, take a stab if you want. So, you know, we have been sort of grappling with the question of are people loyal because they inhabit rather than actually emotionally engaged. So we look at a number of factors. You know, net promoter score is one. We have almost a matrix of people that are loyal behaviourally but disloyal emotionally versus those that are loyal emotionally and behaviourally. But also, you know, net promoter score is only a piece of the puzzle. And net promoter score is only one methodology of survey tracking. We also try and dig deeper into the actual historical data to understand whether people are actively engaged in the program versus just going through the motions. And that there's a large piece of work that goes on for us around that and identifying who are in which camp.
Yep. I guess one thing around those supermarket statistics I showed, and as I said, they are correlated across a number of industries, was when we do that, we actually remove people who actually don't have a choice. So, you know, there's circumstances where someone only has one supermarket they use. If you live in the country, you might only be able to choose Telstra. So when we do that analysis, we actually make sure that within that cell, there's actually proper competition, and only then do we count that as loyalty. I don't think that quite answers your question about apathy, but what it does show is that, you know, there are people out there who are very loyal, and they're only loyal because they have no choice. So we remove that out, and we leave the people who could actively choose loyalty, whether it's apathy or not, we don't answer that.
In the research, did you sort of uncover how consumers feel about loyalty with respect specifically to sort of financial services products, or your customers who sort of purchase financial services products are only loyal because they're getting the frequent flyer points, if you will, rather than some other more FS-related benefit?
Probably don't have a direct answer to did we cover off people's loyalty in terms of financial services specifically. We track the effect that we have on sort of retention rates of our partners in the financial services space, and we know that typically they're significantly below market. Where being below is obviously a good number, but we also know that if the core financial services product is not a strong market product, then the loyalty program won't save it. So you need a product that is competitive at its core fundamental. And loyalty is something that swings the dial as opposed to changes the product construct itself.
I think we just had our early warning bell, so we've probably got time for another question.
Ashley Palmer from Aon Hewitt. A question for customers who continue to fly Qantas and accrue points but let them expire and don't use them. Do you view that as a success or a failure?
The answer is... Well, the answer I give to the actuary is it depends. If you ask me just to choose one, I'd say we'd choose that as a failure. And I would hazard a guess that most other loyalty programs would say it's a success. And I think you saw there our breakage rates were dramatically different. So we view our program as a loyalty program, not a customer information tracking program. And in that case, the mission of it is to drive longer-term behaviour change towards our partners. We specifically are after longer-term contracts with our partners because we know that our goal is to have that longer-term behavioural change. So for us, it is a failure. Kind of started with the it depends is we actually have done the next piece of work to say, can we predict who, if they break, will actually come back and that won't affect their loyalty, and who, if they break, they will actually defect entirely. So we do know those answers, but as I said, our mission is actually we choose longer-term customer engagement and growth over the short-term margin.
Do you target a sweet spot then? I presume you wouldn't want 100% of points being redeemed.
The theoretical answer is we choose the position where the growth and the longer-term viability of the business is maximised. So that would lead to some breakage. The thing I find staggering when I think about it is if you look at breakage in cash, in currency, you know, it's in the mid, 3-5% of notes break. We're not that far away from it almost as little breakage happens in our program as actually happens with people treated like actual cash. So we haven't got very far to go if it is going down. That's a very different position, as I said, to other loyalty, but there is a trade-off there, and it's a very complex place to decide where that trade-off is.
I think, as you said, the program has changed a lot. I can't remember what year it changed. I think it was back in 2001, moved to the activity-based model, where as long as you remain active with Qantas, then your points will never expire. Now, since then, the program has changed a lot. All the new partners have come on. And, you know, I think the stat now is well over two-thirds of members are engaged with the program on a monthly basis, which I think there's probably very few other industries that would have such high levels of engagement. So really, the customers have every opportunity to engage with Frequent Flyer and keep their points active forever. But yeah, inevitably, some will choose to do something else.
I think we're probably just about out of time, unless there's any final burning question. No? With that, let me just thank both speakers again for excellent presentations.